Hello, I am Deb Coviello, your host of the Drop-In CEO podcast, and I am so grateful that you've joined us for another episode. And just know the work that I do with this podcast, with my book, The CEO's Compass, all of it is in service to guiding the C-suite leaders of today and tomorrow to navigate with confidence. And if you are the C-suite leader of today, just know with my 30 years experience in quality and OpEx, I can drop in as a fractional leader and help you navigate before the crisis arises. And also, the C-suite leader of tomorrow, I was you once, not having a support system, and I sincerely want to make sure that you can navigate with confidence, for which I provide the C-suite Academy and one-on-one coaching to help you navigate through your challenges, but also the opportunity to be the C-suite leader of tomorrow. But now I want to share with you a C-suite moment with an amazing person that I've had a recent conversation. I am forever in search for those people that are navigating their careers for which they can also impart some inspiration for you. So this person I've had the good fortune to know is a humble person. They are a respectful person and they sincerely care about people and helping empower those people to reach their dreams. But on the personal note, they also believe that if everything that they focus on with quality and trust that they have the tools to make it happen, they realize they will be successful. It is not arrogant. It is confidence, but they trust and have the faith that they have all the tools they need to be successful. And they are not afraid of new challenges. And they seek these opportunities to learn and grow because they know they will be successful. And so the point here is having the right positive mindset, despite opportunities and challenges, will set you up for success. So think about it. Do you believe you have all the right tools in place to be successful? And so on that note, that brings me to my amazing conversation with Robin Merrill. And in this quick soundbite, she shares an important point about when you engage with people, be in the moment. Really be in the moment and not be thinking about the next question or conversation point. Because when you pause and simply engage with people, you never know what might actually happen. The opportunities you may be looking for may be right in front of you. Let's listen.
When you are present, you tend to actually hear and internalize a little bit better. What that means is you're not rushing the conversation to go on to your next point. You're actually present in what's happening. And as a result, you say, well, maybe I should talk to this other person about that. Maybe I should read this article about what they're talking about. Maybe I should think about things in this direction. And what happens? I don't know why. People talk about manifesting. When you start thinking about these things, your new direction, the new people, you're more open to actually interacting with them. They may have been there all the time, but for the first time, you're willing to engage with them. And those right people who show up at the right time, it's almost as if because you have opened yourself up that they're able to walk through that door and be with you.
Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals. Hello, I am Deb Coviello, founder of the Drop-In CEO, and I want to thank you for joining us on another episode of the podcast where week after week, I get to speak to amazing leaders and share their insights with you. And if you love this episode, please rate, review, subscribe, tell others. I am grateful the downloads are ever increasing. So that's affirmation that we are providing value to you. But now it is my honor to share the mic with my amazing guest, Robin Merrill. Robin CFRE has been a senior executive for billion-dollar organizations and a veteran of the power, value, and identity wars at the top ranks. She is also the author of Involuntary Exit, A Women's Guide to Thriving After Being Fired, which received the 2021 Gold Medal Award from the Nonfiction Authors Association and a 5-star review from Forward. And she is also a frequent speaker on leadership, including most recently at CHIEF, one of the largest national networks of C-suite women, and at the 10th Annual Women's Leadership Conference at the Johns Hopkins University. And most importantly, we have to talk about the personal side. She is married for more than 30 years and has 2 amazing grown children, lives in New England, but considers herself a New Yorker. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Deb. I'm thrilled to be here with you today.
And I am so excited. And this is the beauty of networking. We were introduced thanks to a community with David Schreiner Collins. So I am grateful to have met you, gotten to know you, and also bring your insights to the show. And a quick note to my listeners, her book is amazing. It is amazing. And the reason why I think this conversation is so important is sometimes we are let go from our businesses, the places where we love to work, we are committed and loyal to. But sometimes things happen to good people for which we have to have the conversation about the challenges, but more importantly, the opportunities of when these events happen. So Robin, it is my honor and thrill to have you. Tell us a little bit more about yourself personally, as well as the journey that you've been on and the work that you're doing.
Well, gee, Deb, I never recognized myself after those introductions. So thank you very much. So I have been, CFRE stands for Certified Fundraising Executive, and I've been in the field for over 35 years and a long time professional in large organizations. And my involuntary exit was sudden. Everything, as is true for many of the women that I interviewed in my book, everything is going terrific. And then one day, literally one day, I walked in and I was told that somebody else would be taking my job. And many people say, oh, didn't you see it coming? Or they say to the women in my book, didn't you see it coming? And the fact is that things happen in business. And there's no point when this occurs to focus on finding clues in the past. What you really need to do at that point is start to look forward and to say, okay, this is me now. Yes, it took less than 30 seconds for those words to land in my mind that I was no longer part of this organization. And yes, it will take time for me to process what this all means. But the most important person at that point is you. And you really want to focus on asking yourself some key questions and giving yourself grace to process the grief, and then starting to look forward in the best way that you can. And I can tell that any job loss has a grief framework around it, where the first phase is what is called shock and numbness. Then it's yearning and searching. What happened? Can I get back to where I was? To disorientation, when you're trying a lot of new things and talking to new people about the world outside of where you've been, that's suddenly so large because you were in a silo of lived experience within your company. And then it's reorganization and what I call the brave new world. So give yourself the grace, give yourself the time, and give yourself the understanding to really use this as an opportunity. And I say that not as a Pollyanna, but I say that as a very practical person, because you will find opportunity on your own terms, which is so important. And that's what happened to almost every woman that I interviewed in my book.
So I'm curious, and thank you so much for sharing this. And I think we have to go to a place of understanding, simply understanding that sometimes at no fault of our own, decisions are made for which people are not moving forward with us, but it is not a reflection on yourself, but an opportunity to reflect on what happened and what could be. But I am curious, one of the things you said in that framework was basically going back to where you were. Sometimes people, when these things happen, are very action-oriented and they don't give themselves the time and grace to grieve. And instead, they hit the pavement trying to recreate and get another opportunity based on what they did in the past. So what's the problem with that? What's your insight around that?
Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. And the problem with that is that when this happens to you, you need to, as I say, reflect, reframe, and reset. And one of the key questions to ask yourself which you probably haven't asked. I don't mean you, Deb. I mean you, universal you, is do I want to replicate what I had or try something completely different? Because this is really the pivotal moment when you can do that. You do not have to jump back into the system. And in fact, I talk about women in my book who, because they're type A, hard-driving women who I call loyalists, they've been at their company for 10 years and they've moved the needle very quickly, is they want to get right back in the game and they want to treat this as a blip. And so they go from phase one, right, shock and numbness, to, okay, I'm going to get to reorganization, phase four. And it backfires because they haven't asked themselves the question. They haven't thought about the kind of people they want to be with in their next role. And really taken the time, and I'll talk about that in a minute, really taken the time to reflect on what they enjoy. What were the best parts of their job that they liked? And no matter what happened in a job and how it ended, there are always good parts to a job. Always. There are always good things that you can do. And Deb Tafts, who is the CEO of Lindauer, and she and I talked about this. When you're in front of an interviewer, your emotional health about what happened will be on stage. And as she said, make a good list. Make a good list before you go out there in public to remember all of the good things. So you're not stuck in any kind of pain or anger or any state that doesn't do you good, doesn't do you well.
So Robin, I am smiling here because you are basically, your book was written about my story as well. And again, I don't talk about it because maybe there was a moment of shame. I wanted to go out on my own terms, but now I own it and say, okay, yes, bad things happen to good people. Not the right situation anymore for me. I was let go and I went through all of those phases. But to your point, I love what you talked about. One, well, I'll reframe. I mean, what are you good at and what do you love to do? And then based on that, and to your point, who are the people I want to associate with? Who do I want to work with? Hence, Illumination Partners came to being after walking and listening to many podcasts and reflecting and knowing what gave me true inner joy to the point where I cried because I so enjoyed certain work. And then the rest I had to figure out, but I had a positive path forward and I knew I could not go back and be the person in the situation I was. So I absolutely recommend you need to go through the process.
You do. And I love what you said, Deb. At one point in my book, I say that happiness is the real metric. And I've never read anything that said that it was found at a staff meeting.
No. And they're trying to do things like, hey, let's start the staff meeting. What went well this week? Again, we're going through the motions. And for some, it is a good way to start a meeting. But really, I think partially it's just an act when we really don't assess how are people feeling. So your book, one of the things I really love, and for those of you listening, we're going to get to how you get a hold of Robin's book later. One of the things I love is that at the end of every single chapter, you distill it into some best advice. I mean, as soon as you tell the stories of amazing people, their stories and how they've come through the process, one of the things that really, really resonated with me was the best part of the journey are the people that come to you and the network and those who care. Again, I didn't say it exactly, but it's an amazing thing about who has your back and who is there for you during the process. Tell me more about that, because I think that's so, so important that people embrace.
Yes, yes. I love that. I love that that happens and it happens to everyone. And that you start getting letters and you start hearing from people that you didn't even know you had an impact on. As one woman said to me, you know, I worked really closely with all these people and I never heard from them again. And then I heard from somebody that she said that I had a major influence on her life. And I thought to myself, really? I thought we were just having a conversation. But you have no idea until this happens. And you hear from people that you've worked with, you hear from people in your broader circles. And when you start networking and going out and talking to people outside of your comfort zone, outside of the people you normally would in the transaction of your business, you find out there are so many wonderful people out there. They share their own journeys like you just did. Or they tell you, gee, I really think you'd be great at X, something you never even thought about. Or let me introduce you to Y, because I think they'd enjoy speaking with you and you would enjoy speaking to them. And so I really get my energy from people. And the more people you can speak with, it's not that you're necessarily going to get a job opportunity, but I always say, if you come away with one new idea, it's a good meeting. It's a good meeting. And there's a lot of that out there that I think that we just don't acknowledge. We just don't acknowledge.
It's a beautiful thing. Two quick stories from my part. When I went through the transition, I met with an old colleague that I was hoping maybe to get business. And he said, tell me what it is that you do. And I could not deliver my 30-second elevator pitch. I fumbled over it. So let that be a lesson to you as you go out into the world and explore what the opportunities. Get that elevator pitch because you don't want to fumble over it. And I think the other thing was I took the time to reconnect with mothers of the students in my daughter's circle, going to have breakfast and lunch. And I'm going through the transition, enjoying the company. And I asked the question, when you see me, what do you think? And what she came out and says is, well, Deb, you're obviously very, very busy, but you're not present. Meaning I may be asking people, hey, how are you doing? And reconnecting, not truly being present, which means that action-oriented, getting results and always being busy was actually hurting me because I wasn't making more human connection. So again, you learn stuff about yourself by reaching out to people in your network as you go through this journey and become the better person that you could be at the end.
That's fascinating. And I would be so grateful to that person that asked you that question. It's a wonderful question when people are thinking, how do I brand myself? And you say, well, how do I come across? What are the first three words you think of when you meet me? It's just a really neat tip. The other thing I wanted to comment on when you said you didn't have your elevator pitch is it's very important in when you go public after the transition that you practice. You practice how you're going to present yourself so that you have confidence, your voice is steady, you come across as comfortable in your new chapter.
Very important because those are the impressions that people will remember you by and support you, encourage you, validate who you have become or who you always meant to be. Maybe you simply held that at bay. So thank you for that insight. But I'm going to go back to your book because you had another amazing piece of advice. And this is sometimes hard to relate to. You talk about trust you'll be connected to the right people at the right time. And again, it's hard for a person that's hurry, scurry. I've got to get that job interview. I've got to go, go, go. And sometimes things don't happen as expected. So tell me more about that advice and what can we do with that?
I'm going to build on what you said about your own experience about being present. When you are present, you tend to actually hear and internalize a little bit better. And what that means is you're not rushing the conversation to go on to your next point. You're actually present in what's happening. And as a result, you say, well, maybe I should talk to this other person about that. Maybe I should read this article about what they're talking about. Maybe I should think about things in this direction. And what happens? I don't know why. People talk about manifesting. When you start thinking about these things, your new direction, the new people, you're more open to actually interacting with them. They may have been there all the time, but for the first time, you're willing to engage with them. And those right people who show up at the right time, it's almost as if because you have opened yourself up, that they're able to walk through that door and be with you. And they do help you. It's happened over and over again to everybody that I know who's gone through a vulnerable period where they've just reached out to others and others have come through and it's helped them on their path forward.
So being present to what you were saying, you know, I talk about my journey and my talking points to not really have any mentors along the way. But then I question that and say, well, perhaps I wasn't ready to have a mentor and saying I slugged it out and maybe I had a few good tips and advocates from people that managed me. But then when I went out into my own business and I was a little lost, I was reaching out to people I knew as well as I didn't know, or people said, you need to know this person. And just by allowing myself the opportunity, putting myself out there and say, hey, let's have lunch, let's get to know each other, I wound up finding two mentors, Peter and Dave. And they're there for me when I need them. They don't necessarily tell me what to do, but by sharing my challenges and they tell me these stories, and then I always get something from it. So you're right, you have to be present and open for the right people to show up. So for you, maybe let's just go there a little bit. When you made the transition, and I still haven't gone through the process of why did you decide to focus on this work? But when you went through the transition, what were some valuable people that showed up for you?
Oh, gosh. There were so many. And there was a woman who called me and said, well, you must speak to my son. And her son was a very powerful person. And I went to speak to her son. And he was actually the one who asked me that key question. I was so green, I didn't even know what to ask him. And he said, well, do you want to do the same thing or do you want to try something new? And I said, you know, I don't know. And then other women said the same thing happened for them. And he introduced me to another person who I know to this day. There were just so many. I guess I would say that some were old friends and some were new friends. That's how I would categorize it. And they're still with me to this day.
That's beautiful.
And some were women I interviewed for the book that are still with me to this day.
So, and this book is also for any gender, men or anybody, regardless of where they're at in their journey. But you focused on women. I'm just curious for that. Why did you focus on that demographic?
That's a very simple answer. I knew more women who had gone through this. I thought it would be a good marketing angle to do that. I thought women are typically more voluble about these kinds of things than men are. But many men have contacted me after reading the book and underlining all these different sections in the book and talking about their experience. It is for either gender. But at the time, there were women that I was speaking with, one woman after another. When I told them I was writing this book and I had interviewed one woman, they said, well, you have to talk to my friend because this happened to her. It happened over and over again each time I spoke with someone.
All right. Well, that's unfortunate. But again, based on your work, so many more people are going to benefit and be better prepared or prevent the inevitable from happening to them, because hopefully maybe they're one step ahead of it actually happening. And maybe let me just ask you that question, top of mind and being present. So these are the stories of many, many who have had these challenges and your recommendations for getting through it. But what can people do now to maybe within their control prevent them being exited suddenly without knowing? And maybe much of it is not in their control, but are there things that people can do more of now before something like this happens? So if it does happen, they're better prepared, or two, they can prevent it from happening. What advice would you give people that it hasn't happened to yet?
I think it's very important to network outside of your company. We tend to get to the top of our companies because we're really good networking inside our companies and knowing who to call. But you might find if you haven't prepared, you're outside and you say, well, do I have a network? Who is my network? Because you haven't cultivated. So I would tell women, please join organizations, join your professional organizations. Do what Deb did, you know, go talk to the people that are sort of your acquaintance group, but get tighter to that group. So it's just very important to broaden, to get out of your silo so that when this happens, you can go elsewhere. Another thing I want to say is for those of us who have had mentors along the way, even if you haven't spoken to your mentor in 3-5 years, call them. Call them if this happens to you or you feel it might happen to you. Don't feel like, oh, there's too much time and distance between us. There never is. They will pick up the phone and they will help you. Robin's guarantee, they will help you. The other thing that I think is important, and you had mentioned David Schreiner Kahn, and he talks about this a lot, is to prepare financially for this. And that means take stock of your portfolio. I know there's something that I learned from the consultant world was, hey, if you're going to need a line of equity to bridge you from no job to a new job, get it while you're still employed, you know, because these kinds of things, that the credit scores and all of that stuff is important, and you can do it while you're still employed. So I think prepare yourself financially, prepare yourself with an outside network, and then to emotionally prepare yourself. And I hate to say this, Deb, but as women get closer to 50, it seems that this becomes a phenomenon on that decade. And in fact, there have been many, many articles written about men and women when they enter that fifth decade. And I would take my head out from under the sand and I would say, okay, I'm heading into my fifth decade. Let me do myself a service and start writing out a plan for, you know, concept Robin, concept Deb. And let me write down the things, again, make that good list. What do you enjoy about your job? What might you want to do later? And if change happens, you know, will you be emotionally prepared? I'm somebody who likes to know things in advance. If you're one of those people, read stories about other people who have done it. Read my book so you know what to expect and you know that you'll come out great, even greater on the other end.
I think one of your talking points, again, some of the best advice by Robin, again, I love this one, is that you don't have to have all the answers to know it's time for a change. So this goes into planning for the change, just the due diligence financially, and what are your aspirations? What do you love? What are you good at? Et cetera. Kind of have a tactical plan, but there's an element of trusting your gut. If something just doesn't feel right, and people often put that aside, but trusting your gut could be the best data and piece of information to say, be proactive and get ready for this, either on your terms or when the inevitable happens.
It's so true. And in my book, I have some of the tools that women used, whether they were getting ready or the transition already happened, that I think are very useful for anybody. And because they enable you to think differently. And one of the tools is to write a unique value proposition. Now, whether you write that or not is less important than the fact that you know you have unique value and you start thinking about your unique value. Collecting inspiration, even women that are at the top of their game, practice affirmations for themselves in the morning. They collect inspiration. It helps keep you going. We wish we were always positive energy bunnies, but sometimes we need to borrow from another positive energy bunny to create a vision board, which gets back to what I said in the beginning, to create your perfect vision of where you would like to be in your next chapter and put visions of where you want to be, who you want to be with, what does it look like? They say that people who write down their goals are 80% more likely to achieve them. I honestly don't know if that's true. And not everybody is verbal. Some people are visual. And so if you create a vision board, you know, you can actually see what you might and dream. And it goes back to that part about manifesting and having those right people come into your life. Another thing they did was to enlist an advisory board, because as we know, no one person, even ourselves, has all the answers. So make sure that you diversify your cognitive reflections with different thinkers around you, which goes towards expanding your network from your comfort zone.
So I'm reflecting on what you're saying. I'm getting actually a little teary-eyed because you self tell the story of what's happening with me. I'll start with the second one, the advisors. You know, I learned quickly to reach out to other people, get all this kind of input, but also I would shy away from my significant other because he would be so direct with me and I wouldn't necessarily enjoy, his name's Dan, his advice. But then I think you have to reflect on perhaps the delivery may not be as you expect, but consider what they say. They can sincerely care about you and evolve or seek to understand why they say certain things that you should or could do, because sometimes you might think they're not supportive when really you need to figure out what's that nugget in that they're trying to communicate to help you in your future. But I will tell you, the whiteboard, the vision board, I am standing in front of this enormous vision board for which there have been hundreds of post-its and scribble all over. And sometimes things I just don't understand, but things that I'm thinking, my passion, my wants, pictures, words, phrases, what have you. And you just let it sit there sometimes. And sometimes if it's vague and it's fuzzy bunnies and fluffy clouds and it doesn't mean anything to yourself, but over time they start coming together and you start clustering. Oh, I'd love to teach. Ooh, I love helping individuals. I want to be on a stage someday. All of a sudden that starts getting clarity. Give yourself time and grace, but no, put it out there. And eventually it's going to come to fruition or some form of it. I know this.
That's wonderful. I love that.
And thank you for giving me a little bit of time to share. I mean, I elevate my guests on these shows, but you know, it's also my journey. I like to seek people that are interesting, that are relevant, people I can resonate with and truly value what they're doing. But just one last question. Again, you too exited from a significant role and realized this is a thing, not only to understand it, but then how to move forward. But this is a lot of the work that you're doing now. So you are helping others make the transition. So why did you arrive on this versus any other work that you could have done? You're highly talented executive, fundraising, nonprofits. You could do anything. Why this?
Well, writing has always directed me in every stage of my career. I actually have a degree in fiction writing. And so storytelling is something that I really, really enjoy. And this chapter enabled me, it's funny, it's a nonfiction book, but there were so many stories that I was telling. And so it enabled me to do that work, to hear the stories of women who would contact me and to talk in terms of how we say control the narrative as they move forward, to help them control their narrative, help them tell their story, because it's something that I love to do. And it's also something that's very pertinent to fundraising, because in fundraising, we're always telling the story of how people can help others in a way that they can hear it, that they can be present, that they can relate to it and feel good about it. So there's was a tie between all of those things. And I still am helping nonprofits raise funds for a number of causes because it's just so appealing. And the people I meet there are so fascinating. The people who we help are so grateful. And so that thread goes through all of it in this chapter. And it just seems like the right evolution for bringing my work together. And as somebody, I was just speaking at a big fundraising conference and he called us the helping profession. And I think that that's so true for so many of us. And seeing the professional advancement of people, the emotional roller coaster of jobs, fundraising itself as an industry is pretty volatile, but all industries have their ups and downs, all of them. The women I spoke to were from industries across the country, and the commonality of their experiences and their successes is just so appealing to me as a next chapter. You know, when you write a proposal to ask for funds, you start with the problem and you end with the solution, and then you finalize with the forecast of how wonderful this will be for all. And I think that's a great framework for what I'm doing now. And you just helped me realize that, Deb.
So I am so grateful for bringing this topic forward. It's very important for us to simply acknowledge it. And then what is the best advice for Robin to be able to leverage and be able to move forward and achieve a greater purpose or do the work that we love to do? So I'd love to give you an opportunity for some final thoughts as well as an offer you may have for our listeners.
Sure. So I would love the more people who are able to read my book, the happier I will be. And you can find my book on theprofessionalguide.com and I will personally sign each book and personally send it to you when you purchase it through my site. Of course, it's also on Amazon, but that's my personal offer to you. I will also encourage people to check out my playlist on Spotify. So just as, you know, Deb has a board with all the post-its on there that means something to her, I love music. And so I selected tracks for every phase of the journey. And I've heard from listeners that this has really helped them if you're a music lover. So check out my playlist on Spotify. It's called the Involuntary Exit Playlist.
All right. We'll make sure we get all that into the show notes. Robin, you have been an amazing guest. I'm grateful to know you, to share the journey with not only you, but so many amazing women that you've interviewed and those you haven't even connected with. So you've been amazing. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you, Deb. This was really a lot of fun.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. My new book, The CEO's Compass, will change the way you think about leadership, navigate rapid transformation, and elevate the leaders of tomorrow. If you're feeling off track, the CEO's Compass assessment will guide you to peace of mind in days, not months. You can learn more about the CEO's Compass by visiting my website at dropinceo.com. Now go out and lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.